Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined, fresh from holiday, his beard's going tomorrow and potentially his eyebrows, it's Chopper Pete Quinnell.
You really had to remind me of that, didn't you? Thanks. Really appreciate that. Thank you.
How are your family and loved ones taking this?
It was quite amusing, actually. I did a... While I was on holiday, we did a quiz with the family, because everyone's doing bloody quizzes now. And I informed them that it'd be going, and they thought I was mental for doing it. I said, hey guys, it's for charity, and they said, you're still nuts. So, yeah, going great. They just loved it.
Well, if anyone wants to see that happen live, Quizzlemania with No Way Jose... We'll be on. We're raising money for charity because aren't we just the best? But for right now, that's tomorrow. Right now, let's dive into the Raw review. Becky Lynch has vacated her Raw Women's Championship because she's won the greatest title this world has to offer. She's going to be a mother, Pete. And also, WWE are bringing back the wild card rule. I cannot believe that's happening. But let's kick off with how Raw opened, and that is Becky Lynch coming out. It was advertised last Monday that Becky would address the Women's Money in the Bank winner, which everyone kind of thought, well, that gives away who the winner's going to be. It's going to be a Raw person. I picked Asuka, I was right, but I don't think that necessarily, you know, spoils Money in the Bank still. Anyway, Asuka comes out as well. Becky Lynch cuts this quite emotional promo saying that she's going to have to step away for a while. How she never thought that people would welcome her into their hearts so much. This Irish girl who likes puns and toast. And yeah, Asuka comes out. And Becky kind of reveals what she's talking about, where she says, I spoke to WWE management, and you weren't actually fighting for the Money in the Bank briefcase last night. You were fighting for the Raw Women's Championship. And she opened the briefcase, and in there was the belt. And then, in a reveal that I really don't know if it's a shoot or not, and if it wasn't a shoot, I don't even care, because it came across as so organic and so authentic and just bloody lovely. Becky did the reveal in such a perfectly delivered and structured way, where she said, now you go and be a great champion on Raw, Asuka, and I'll go and be a mum. And God, and I've watched it, because they replayed this clip to a nauseating degree throughout the rest of the show. But Asuka's reaction to this, well, you know, she's being da, 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 doing her little dance stuff. When Becky says that, she goes and they hug, and oh, really, really nice. It's like, it's this to me is the opposite to when Roman Reigns announced leukemia. You know, like, still just really, really emotional and raw and real. But with Reigns, of course, it was just this just incredibly awful announcement. Whereas Becky's is the other end of the spectrum, and then it's very, very, very nice.
Yeah, it's a shame that her epic title reign that she's had has to end with a vacation and not, you know, someone beating her for the title. But this was such a really well done announcement. Genuinely, like, it's a really rare moment you get in WWE programming where you just strip the veil away of wrestling itself, and you're seeing, you know, the person behind the wrestler just say, I'm going to have a baby. It's just one of those primal things. You just go, that's so nice. It really just gets you in the feels. And Asuka's celebration upon winning the title was fantastic. She couldn't quite believe it. She was like, you're pulling my leg. This is, no, I'm not the champion. And Becky's like, no, you're the champion now. And she grabs the title and is dancing around going, I'm the champion, I'm amazing. And instantly when I heard the rumors before Raw last night that the rumors were floating around that Becky might have been pregnant and they were going to have Asuka take the title off her. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense, because what they're going to do is they're going to say, right, Becky's pregnant, she's going away, and she's going to vacate the title. Oh, I guess Asuka's got money in the bank, so we'll just put the championship on her. That wouldn't have made any sense, but they made it make sense by saying, you already won, because you were fighting for the title without you knowing it. And it's a really small change, but it makes all the difference in the world, because now when the reveal happens, you go, oh my god, that's actually really clever, that's really smart. And then you have the emotional impact on top of that when Becky says she's going to be a mum. It's pretty much perfect. It's as great as you can do for, you know, them kind of flipping the script and having to improvise with this new scenario they've been presented in front of them. I thought they did so well with it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I echo everything you said there. I'd be curious to know, you know, now we've got all the niceties out the way. Mm. What's going on backstage? Where's the heat? Who's furious with who? I don't think there's anyone furious with anyone. I think everyone's going to be enormously happy, even WWE management, because, you know, it's tough times right now. And mm-hmm. This is a rare moment of levity and genuine heartfeltness. However, if you look at the bigger picture, WWE have put an enormous amount of time and effort and resources into building Becky Lynch as one of their top stars. They very rarely do that with people these days. Mm-hmm. And now, in concurrent years, you have Ronda Rousey, who they did the same for, and then she left to go and start a family. And then the following year, we're now getting it with Becky Lynch, because I think she gave an interview with People saying that she's expecting for December, mm-hmm. which means she's out for the rest of this year. And then, you know, will she come back immediately? I doubt it, especially with the pandemic that's happening right now. It's not like you can, or what you wouldn't want to take chances with people being pregnant. What does that mean for Seth Rollins? You know, he's Roman Reigns. He says his main decision wasn't that he had cancer for not doing the WWE tapings. It's because his wife was pregnant and they gave birth to twin boys last month or in March. So now it's like, you know, and I'm not criticizing that. I'm just like looking ahead to the future. Does this mean that Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins are going to be taken out for the rest of the year at a time when WWE's main event scene is severely lacking star power?
Yeah. It's such a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because it's such a nice thing, and it's totally understandable, and it's no one's, like, fault, for lack of a better word, that this has happened and Becky's going to go away and, you know, take care of her baby, and that's great. And you'd assume at some point, maybe not immediately, but sometime soon, Seth is going to have to go to look after Becky. Like, she can't, you know, just be by herself during this whole time. So you'd think at least at some point Seth's going to have to go, which means you're going to be missing two of your top stars off people that you've invested so much time into that are going to be gone. Seth having one of the best characters on Raw right now, and he might have to be completely written out, and that might be a cool story, like the way his character's going, as we saw later in the episode. It's having a unique twist to his character now, which is great. Whether that's going to play into something later down the line and he's going to have to be written off, I don't know. But, like, it's really interesting to see what's going to happen. Like, from a just from a, you know, a viewer's perspective of just what's going to happen to the show. It's really, really... I'm so curious to see what's going to happen. They may need to build some new stars very, very quickly.
Charlotte Flair. That's what we're getting. We're getting Charlotte Flair, champion of NXT, SmackDown, and soon to be Asuka. And not just for the Raw title, but retroactively for the briefcase. She's also the 2020 Money in the Bank winner. Charlotte Flair, the Queen, Royal Rumble, Money in the Bank, all the champions.
She'll also beat the Gronk. She'll be the 24/7 champion as well. Just give it, put them all on her. Why not?
So Becky actually said in her excellent promo, I loved the content. I loved the way it was delivered. I thought she came across as so affable. But she agreed, like what we're saying here. Like she agreed. She said, "Look, this is a bittersweet thing for me. I love this job. I love wrestling." I've held the title for over a year. This is unprecedented, like nearly unprecedented. And I'm very happy that I'm going to be a mother, but at the same time, I'm going to have to step away from this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, and you know, I mean, just a week ago, there were lots of reports doing the rounds that Becky had, there's a lot of interest in the movie business in Becky. Apparently someone wants to cast her in a Marvel film, which would be awesome. I think she's very well suited for that. Or a Kim Possible live-action TV series.
Yeah. I mean, that's a totally legitimate answer. It's the only answer, really.
Mm. But the how that then, you know, at the end of all this, does she go back to acting, which is a lot easier on a family life?
Yeah.
I don't know, but don't worry, Pete. WWE might have the answer to everything. It's bringing back the wild card.
God. Oh, this is
bad, isn't
it?
Do you want to walk us through what happened here?
Yeah, okay. So they announced on the show that it's going to be Brand Crossover is coming back. Oh, which is, you know, code word for the wildcard rule, which they scrapped because everyone hated it. So
we didn't hate it. It just massively undermined the brand split. Because last year, when the ratings were going down, I was one person who went on record and said, I think this is a good idea because they've got to do something. The shows are rubbish otherwise.
Yeah.
But I actually think the shows are quite good at the moment.
Yes, exactly. And it's hard to say how this is going to work because the match that we know is happening next week, it's going to be Drew McIntyre versus King Corbin. Which, you know, when you introduce this brand crossover, there's some dream matches up laid up on a platter for you. You've got new WWE champion Drew McIntyre coming off a big win with Seth Rollins at Money in the Bank. You could have Drew McIntyre versus Daniel Bryan. You could have Drew McIntyre versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus Cesaro. Anybody. And they went for Corbin.
My pick would have been Otis.
Mm.
Like, have him go in there, have a, you know, Drew could definitely carry him to a good 10-minute match.
Yeah.
Get him over in defeat. Drew's excellent at that sort of performance. But yeah, Baron Corbin.
Yeah, Baron Corbin. I'm curious to see, because I think Drew's run as champion has been amazing so far. Since he's won it at Mania, he's been booked so well. The matches have been great. He's been a really strong champion. It's been really, really good. I'm so curious to see how it's going to work when he comes against the roadblock that is Corbin. Is it going to be a Corbin match, or is it going to be a Drew match that he drags Corbin into? Like, what way is it going to go? Because I'm terrified that it's going to be a Corbin match, and these two somehow, despite being on different brands, are going to feud for 7 months. And it's going to
be
terrible.
Yes, well, that's it. If this is a one-off, fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Like the Jake Hager-John Moxley thing. If it's just a one-off, it's an interim feud, whatever. It's not the best thing to do because this is your premiere debut match of this big cross-brand initiative. And so many people must have signed off on that first match being the ratings draw of Drew McIntyre versus Baron Corbin. If that's just one match, though, which has a killer angle afterwards, where, I don't know, you know, someone intriguing. I'd love to see him versus Daniel Bryan. I would even prefer Dolph Ziggler, because there's more history there between them. And I think it would be a much better match. I mean, as technically history, the same history with Baron Corbin, because they were part of that, you know, one of the many iterations.
God,
of
they were, weren't even. They? Jesus. Forgot about that.
So, yeah, and it's just, it's weirdly, Dave Meltzer said last week, and this wasn't, he didn't say reportedly or anything, this wasn't the inside track, he said, and it was a speculation on his part, I think next week they'll start, the brand split will start to go away. Because this is what Vince does when the ratings are down. He panics and he goes back on the brand split. And 5 days later it happened.
Mm. Crazy, isn't it? And the thing is as well, though, is that the shows have already been feeling kind of samey because they've not had enough talent at their disposal. You know, Zelina Vega's group of sexy men has been on like 7 out of 8 segments on Raw every week. So in theory, having more people come over to freshen up each show is a good idea. However, we know what they do when they have that power and they just have the same people across both shows every single time. So now instead of each show feeling samey but distinct, they're now both going to feel like the same show time and time again. And I'm really worried that that's the road they're going to go down again.
Yeah, yeah, it'll just be the same... Yeah, 6 people over and over again, as opposed to giving this more like people like a not, but yeah, I guess Apollo Crews, Chad Gable, underutilized talent right now. But you know, they're missing a lot of top talent, they're missing a lot of mid card talent, they're missing undercard talent, they're missing just everyone right now. They're in a terrible position. I don't think this rule is going to change anything. I get why they did it. It might make the shows initially a bit more dynamic, but ultimately the only thing that's going to help this is cutting the shows down to 1 hour a time.
Yeah.
The answer isn't fill the content more. It's people can't sit through a 3-hour Raw in general with no fans in lockdown. They need to have these talks with the USA Network and Fox and just say, look, unprecedented times. Do you want a really killer high-rated 1 hour, or do you want the slow death of this programming you paid a load of money for?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'm worried because I've been enjoying SmackDown for weeks now. I mean, there's been a few episodes where it's been fine, but generally it's been pretty good. I'm worried that that trend is going to break now and it's going to get even worse, and I really don't want it to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Listen up, slap nuts. This is a special PSA, a pubic service announcement.
Lockdown has made us get a little bit sloppy with our grooming. Just look down. Your balls have become so hairy, they've become parts unknown.
So let's thank today's sponsor, Manscaped.com, for their best-selling Lawnmower 3.0 body trimmer for holding people like you, yes, you, accountable for sorting out your bushy nutsack and turning them from disgusting George the Animal steals into lovely smooth Kurt Angles. And this isn't like cutting your family jewels with big Razor Ramones. This is cutting-edge technology.
Manscaped changed the culture with the Perfect Package 3.0 kit, which includes the Lawnmower 3.0 and its advanced skin-safe technology so you won't get cut open hard way, and anti-chafing ball deodorant to make sure your undertakers aren't stinking up in your house. Because I want to tell you this as a friend, I can smell your balls through this podcast. Sort it out, mate.
And when you become a subscriber at manscaped.com with the special code WrestleTalk, you'll get new replacement blade refills, and for a limited time you get not one, but two free gifts. The shed travel bag and the patented anti-chafing boxer briefs, which are super comfy.
This is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off with free international shipping to the US, Canada, Australia and the UK by going to manscaped.com/WrestleTalk.
That's manscaped.com with the code WrestleTalk. Your big hairy balls will thank you.
My big hairy balls. Let's do your Patreon shoutouts. Thank you to all our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon. Quoth the Regan, never fall.
Hey, that's a very creative one. Your best friend, Neon Pal, it. Woo, thank you.
Woo. He's no jackass, Dano.
Woo, thank you. The Snapdragon King, Ryu Odonte. Woohoo.
Thank you. Rob Steiner Recliner.
Thank you much. Michael Plowman, that's his name. That name again is Michael Plowman. Yes.
Cheers, Michael. Thank you. The man who wears the gold, the man recognized by SWAF Nation International as the 24/7 champion, our legend.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. Legendary. Pick him up, Loot Sponge. Woo!
Woo!
Thank you.
The old codger dodger, Roger.
It's dodgy, but nice try. Golden Nick Holden. Woo!
Yeah.
Thank you.
That Golden's my thing. The power couple, Stephen and Giovanna.
Mwah. Thank you very much. And finally for today, dot, dot, dot. Dive, Dylan Cachetta. Woo!
Thank you very much. Let's see what all you guys think in the super chats. Please get in your super chats because we'll be getting to them throughout the show. And also, hey, look at that. It's a special support Wrestle Talk bit if you just want to help us out. And if you want to help us out the most, get a pile drive COVID-19. We've just been demonetized, Pete.
Yeah, we have.
So help us out because we said the name. I'm like Mr. Kennedy right now holding this this microphone.
Davis.
Get over to WrestleTalkMerch.com and find this t-shirt and buy it. There's loads of great t-shirts there. Look, it's Rampage Brown. Isn't he terrifying?
He's great. Love Rampage.
One of the best wrestlers in the UK. But yes, yeah, please do go over and get yourselves a Pile Drive COVID-19 t-shirt. That's how we'll defeat it. It's T-Shirt Tuesdays. I'm trying to make it a thing. It's a good idea. But yes, your super chats on the Becky Lynch announcement. Loads of people commenting on this. Progress Marek writes, what are the chances Seth stays at home with the baby and Becky? Seth stays at home and Becky returns to the ring. Don't know too many couples who both wrestle full-time with kids.
Yeah, it might have to be... they'll come up with a stay-at-home schedule. So it'll be one comes back for a month and then it gets written off TV and the other one comes back for a while. Who knows?
Then they'll never see each other.
Yeah. That's a sacrifice you make when you marry into this business. I don't know.
I think just sign the baby up to NXT now. That's the... Work with the kids. Ben Isaacs. Asuka is officially the second longest women's Money in the Bank holder with one day. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. They've had four, and Bayley and Bliss cashed it on the same night. It was just Carmella that held it for like nearly a year.
And that was a botch.
That was bad.
James Ellsworth.
Yeah.
Tim Arndt. All of the fans who thought Becky's title reign was starting to get stale must think that Seth is the best babyface in the world right now.
Not after what he did on the show later. Mm. Absolutely not.
Tim Arndt. Wouldn't it be a hoot if Becky had ended her promo by saying, "Screw you, Ronda, I got there first. I am more fertile. Have a fertility match."
Oh, God, no. Don't give him ideas.
RJ Jennings. R. Jennings. Becky Lynch pregnant by small package from Rollins.
Oh.
These are cracking.
These are very good, guys. I'm pleasantly surprised.
It's witty. And it's not offensive and not crude.
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah.
You struck the tone. Alistair Gammond. Ooh, manslayer.
that feels like something else, but sure.
I've seen this joke a lot, but how can she be pregnant? She's the man. Don't worry, folks. It's always funny.
That one's not Benny as good Sato, as the others.
Hashtag Datsun is the only hope to bring the gold to WrestleTalk. Becky Lynch has joined Finn Balor and Sting in the list of superstars that Seth Rollins has taken out of action.
I think that's the best one yet.
He's unsafe.
Yeah,
he's unsafe sex.
Unsafe worker.
Colostopia. Small package strikes again. P.S. A bit random, but a fox killed one of our chickens yesterday. Didn't even leave a trace of blood. Absolute savage. Cheers for the update.
Thanks.
Christian Lamontange. We've got loads of super chats on Becky. Imagine the pop when Becky comes back. Her and Seth walk to the ring with the new baby full of joy. And then Snitsky's music hits.
Oh, God. No, Christ. Don't.
Pavi let Andy out of his cage. I genuinely teared up seeing Becky and Asuka hug.
Same. Yeah. It was a great moment.
Really, really nice. Ooh-ah. Ooh-ah says, please let Seth have a Christmas baby. Continuity.
Mm.
This is a great idea.
Yeah,
because
great.
If it's born on the 25th of December, CrossFit Jesus, I want Seth to start referring to his newborn child as, you know, as the new Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes him God.
Yeah.
How does the Holy Trinity work?
God,
it's very
that
confusing.
Works.
Pavi let Andy out of his cage again. After Asuka's reaction, no way she is a heel anymore.
I don't think so. I feel like she was the heel beforehand with the celebration and the dancing and stuff. And then when Becky announced she's going to be a mom, that was like, that's the end of kayfabe for that segment. That's just like, let's just pull the veil back for this little bit. That's fine. She can be a heel next week. Whatever.
I agree. I do find it frustrating, though, how WWE don't have any consistency over this. Like, that Asuka was momentarily a babyface. That's not to say she might not become a babyface, because now they've got a bit of a babyface absence in the Raw Women's Division. I think Asuka versus Shayna would be a very good feud coming off of
totally.
This. But they did stick to kayfabe with the father of the child, Seth Rollins. He didn't come out and say, well done.
Yeah.
And last week, AJ Styles was not in kayfabe in an advert. Wallow TV, so we all agree that Seth isn't the father.
Dun, dun, dun. Give him
turn that
him.
Into a storyline. Horny Rusev.
Oh, not again.
Pavi let Andy out of his cage. Becky beat Ronda for the title and beat her on being a mum.
That she did.
Yeah, she got there first. Dylan Voorhees, I can't be the only one disappointed with how Becky had the power to just hand the title away. I understand the heartfelt moment, but I felt as if she should have cashed in on the title it was handed.
I don't mind that, because to me it came off as if, and this is probably just me reading more into it because they didn't actually say it in the segment, but to me it came off like Becky had been working with behind the scenes personnel to let them know that she was going to be going away, and she organised it with people to be like, let this match be for the title, but don't tell anyone. And she kind of worked with them to make it happen, rather than it just being like, here's the title. It was like a coordinated effort, is what I saw it as.
I totally got that. And Becky did did pretty much say that, I think, in her, that it, she had spoken with management that this was going to be a surprise. I think that works well. And, you know, what is better, Becky suddenly being beaten here, or this much longer term play where she can come back and claim a title she never lost, which, you know, ironically, Asuka has experienced herself. Zach Icon Linda. Becky beat Ronda in the impregnation vacationing. Yep. Cactura Cloud. Becky's comeback will be insane. Returns for Money in the Bank next year. I can make it WrestleMania, surely. Droz Walker 9. Seth and Baby are having a Blue Chew baby. We're not sponsored by them.
No, we're not.
Ken Gorry. Becky impregnated by foreign object. William Bradley, if Becky has a son, do you think Seth will kiss his son on the lips? Very, very good, everybody. So, let's get... Oh, actually, before we get into the play-by-play of the show... WrestleMania tomorrow, 9 p.m. BST on GMT now, isn't it? On Parts of Unknown over here in the UK, which is 4 p.m. on the East Coast and 1 p.m. PST, I believe.
Yes.
We're live streaming. It's gonna be me versus Luke versus reigning champion Sean Ross Sapp versus No Way Jose.
No Way Jose.
And what else is going to be happening on that show, Pete?
Because I lost 2 weeks in a row, I'm going to be shaving my beard off. And if we hit the goal that we're setting, because we're raising money for charity during this, if we hit the goal, then I'll be shaving off my eyebrows.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
So let's raise some money for charity, folks.
Positives.
Yeah. We're the best. Right, so the full play-by-play... I just say that because it annoys you now.
Yeah.
The full play-by-play of the show, we got the Becky Lynch announcement at the start, which was lovely. Backstage, a load of baby faces celebrated with her, which, again, played really organically. It did seem like they just found out about the news.
Yeah, I think it worked really well. Yeah, I feel like they might have held on to the shot just like... 5 seconds too long, just because I felt like they were all like joshing around and it was all fun and games, and then Becky was standing there just like, yeah, this is, and cut. Just take it away a little bit sooner, but that's an
wasn't it,
it was
a pre-taped show.
Yes, question mark.
I can't remember what's live anymore.
I don't know. Yeah.
After that, we got Bobby Lashley in a no DQ match for no particular reason against Humberto Carrillo. This was... Carrillo actually got a fair bit of offense in. Even got to go loony with a chair on Lashley. But ultimately, no one can escape the dreaded full Nelson submission. And Carrillo tapped.
Yeah. You know what? Since Lashley, for the last couple of weeks, I think Lashley's looked pretty good. I think. I'm not saying that I'm super into him or anything, because he's got a lot of rebuilding work to do with that whole storyline with Rusev and being with Lana and all that stuff. I'm not super into it, but I think he's looked pretty impressive in the ring. There's been a few times... I've not been the biggest fan of Lashley for a while, but I thought he's looked pretty cool. And the full Nelson can totally buy that hurting when it comes from Lashley.
Yeah, I think... I mean, I'm an enormous fan of Lashley. Mm. Unfortunately, he's been given... every worst story imaginable, like, you know, worst story gimmick of the year stuff. And I do think it's part of a backstage effort to bury him, because he famously, you know, fell out with Michael Hayes when he left the company back in around 2009. But hopefully now that Paul Heyman's in charge of Raw and he's being given a lot more trust, it seems Bobby can hopefully be rebuilt. I think we're going towards Lashley versus Drew, which I'm very much into.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. And another little bit of continuity, which they definitely did not plan on, I don't think, was that I believe, unless I'm mistaken, Bobby Lashley was the first person to ever break out of the Master Lock. So, you know. And now he's got
nice.
It. I don't think they planned that. But it's a nice little thing.
After that, we got the Viking Raiders setting up their basketball match against the Street Profits for later on.
This was a segment, wasn't it? God, why are they What are they doing? Why?
We'll get into it when we do the actual sketch.
Okay.
Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Kairi Sane celebrates with Asuka backstage. She's surely leaving soon.
Probably.
I thought this was one of the more frustrating parts of the episode. Mm-hmm. Angel Garza and Austin Theory are just screaming at each other backstage for no particular reason, and Zelina Vega's Gang of Sexy Men, a really fun faction, is now seemingly splitting up off from one of its wrestlers.
Feels like Austin Theory's on his way out. Andrade and Garza were kind of standing next to each other, shouting at Theory across the way, with Zelina trying to get in the way and try and break him up. They got bored of Theory, I guess. I don't know. There's just doesn't seem to be any reason. There's no storyline reason. They're just arguing now. It's kind of dumb.
I think in a few days' time, reports will come out that Vince has given up on another star, and it's Austin Theory. And to be honest, he hasn't stood out, and I think this faction works better without him.
Mm.
He does look like an odd person out there.
Totally.
It's a Hispanic faction. It's a Latino faction, mm-hmm. and Austin Theory has never been given a storyline explanation of why he's in there,
mm-hmm.
other than he's good. He was in NXT.
Yeah.
Briefly.
Yeah,
anyway.
And lost to Tyler Breeze.
So Angel Garza continued shouting at Theory on the outside in his match with Akira Tozawa. Akira Tozawa just got nothing. Garza squashed him, which, you know, is good because I love Garza, but it hurts mm-hmm. because I love Tozawa. And then Drew McIntyre comes out, claymores everyone, and has a match with Andrade.
Drew is the best. And that's not a hot take, but Drew is absolutely the best. And I saw it more in this match that he had the champion versus champion match with Andrade. I love everything that Drew does. The way he moves, his moves, his facial reactions, the things he says in a match, it gets a reaction out of me for everything he does. His moveset, by the way, is amazing. Like, some of the stuff he was pulling out in this, like a tilt world backbreaker, a sky high, the future shock DDT, the claymore, the reverse Alabama slam, the headbutt, like every move he does, I'm like, oh, that was good. Like every single time, he just elicits so much emotion out of me every time he wrestles. I love Drew. He's the best.
And the moveset is kind of a throwback. It's not like he's Ricochet doing these insane athletic maneuvers that no one else can do. He's Alabama Slam.
Mm.
That's straight out the 80s.
Yeah.
But I think it works so well for him. But he has a decent match with Andrade. I wish they had time to put on a proper 20-minute match, especially because it's the US champion versus the WWE champion.
Mm.
And now we've had two relatively easy wins from McIntyre over Andrade. It's not their fault. It's the way they've been booked, unfortunately. But then McIntyre, after beating Andrade, just goes, oh, and what I came out here for to actually say, because I came down here for a promo, but I thought I'd beat up Andrade as well, is, and this is where he announces that next week he'll have a match against King Corbin.
Mm.
Which, you know, unfortunately, if WWE keep putting Drew in the position of having to make disappointing announcements, it will reflect badly on him eventually.
Yeah, which is really a shame. I mean, Drew was as great of a promo as he could have cut. He cut here. It almost made me excited about a Corbin match. Almost.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, like, in classic Drew fashion, really charismatic, really, you know, putting over this as quite kind of a big deal. He kind of, like, almost deviates and goes on a complete tangent, but brings it back to, like, in, like, a really charming, charismatic... I don't know how he does it. He's the best.
Mm.
And then he just announces, yeah, he's going to be facing King Corbin, and he's excited because now he chose Drew as his opponent, essentially. And Drew's like, all right, cool. I've got a claymore waiting for you. Sucks to be you, mate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward, bear with me, I'm looking forward to the match if it's booked in the right way, which, based on how Drew has been booked so far, I really hope they just continue it, because it's been great. It's been really, really good.
They've done everything right with him, so I guess we should be optimistic. It's hard, though.
Because it's Baron Corbin.
It's hard.
It's like,
and it's WWE.
It's like an unstoppable force and an immovable object. It's Drew McIntyre, who's so old, but it's Baron Corbin, who they've treated exactly the same the whole time. Oh, it's going to be hard.
After that, MVP was sort of giving Lashley advice backstage, like, you know, you look good out there, man. You need to do this, this, and this. And then he walks off and he says something to Lana like, well, I'm going to be his manager soon. Along that, it wasn't that, but it was along those lines. And Lana just decided to react at number 11. She was just like, ah!
How dare you?
My friend texts me saying it was his favorite, and he very rarely like talks to me about WWE because he doesn't really like it anymore. He texts me specifically about that moment, saying how it was one of the funniest things he's seen in lockdown, and it is.
It's really dumb. It was just MVP just saying like, look, you came here in this company trying to scratch and claw for everything in like 2006, and now we're in 2020 and you're exactly the same spot. What the hell, man? I'd be well up for MVP trying to get Lashley. Is he still with Brendan Vink and Shane Thorne? I guess he is. Kind of, I mean, he was in the six man with them later, so maybe he's trying to build his own little kind of faction on his own, which I'd be all for. I think that's really cool. And if it gets Lashley away from Lana and starts rebuilding him as a serious competitor, big thumbs up from me. I'd be well into that.
Definitely agree. After that, we got what seemed to be another move in this whole cross-brand idea, because we got a Moment of Bliss segment, which is with SmackDown stars Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. But, you know, they are also the women's tag champs, so there is a sort of kayfabe reason why they could appear on both shows.
Which, you know, and the titles float, don't you know? That was big air quotes for podcast listeners.
Those titles sure are floaters the way WWE have booked them. And the Iconics returned. I've missed the Iconics. They had a pretty decent match here. You know, way better than the Iconics matches of old. And the Iconics won, setting up a title match for next week.
I thought, the Iconics actually got a chance to wrestle in this match, which I thought was nice. Because I think the Iconics of old either were doing, like, hair pulling and shouting, or, like, getting beaten up or doing a roll-up, whereas here they actually got to showcase some actual wrestling moves. They had a proper match with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, and they debuted a new finisher, which is kind of like a magic killer but in like a powerbomb position. I think it wasn't the best version of it. I think the move is good, but it didn't quite work against Bliss here, but I think it could look better in future iterations of it. But yes, it's cool. I like it.
Unfortunately, what has no chance of ever being good is Pretty Ricky, which is R-Truth's gimmick from like the late noughties. I think he brought it back briefly in the mid-teens, and it's R-Truth doing a boss eye and wearing some, you know, goofy teeth, and he's really dumb, and it's not funny.
No.
I find it offensive. I'm not easily offended, but it doesn't sit right with me in the slightest. And it doesn't sit right with me even more knowing it's probably cracking Vince McMahon up, and that R-Truth is allowing this to happen, because they're very close, apparently. Vince McMahon finds R-Truth one of the funniest people he knows. That's why that famous picture of them both laughing together. R-Truth can crack Vince up. So, yeah, I did not like this at all. I really didn't like it.
Yeah, it was quite funny actually, because I was talking to my friend, because we were watching Money in the Bank together, not in person. Don't worry, it was over a call. He was saying, like, I've always been such a massive fan of R-Truth. I think he always, whatever he's given, he always makes it so funny. He's great, all that stuff. I messaged him after I watched Raw this morning. I was like, wasn't good though, was it? He tried, but no, it's just not good. It's just not funny. And it was weird in this match because he kept switching between that character and himself through the tag match. It was really strange. I didn't get it. It wasn't funny. And it just kind of detracted from the match. I wasn't really paying attention to what was happening, because I was like, what's happening with R-Truth? It was strange.
And that's how highly Raw thinks of Cedric Alexander and Ricochet right now, that they were background fodder for this R-Truth six-man tag vehicle against, you know, Shane Thorne, Brendan Vink, and MVP. They're a new act. They're a new faction. They got a win last week, their first win. Apparently, Vince McMahon is very high on Brendan Vink because he's a big guy. So for this to all just play second fiddle to R-Truth's racially insensitive gimmick, God, this was so bad.
Yeah.
This was by far the worst thing on the show, and probably by far the worst thing since WrestleMania.
Yeah, totally. It was not good at all. It wasn't redeemed, but there was a nice thing to end off on, which was R-Truth got the win by hitting his finisher. They had a name, but I don't know what it is because R-Truth never hits it. But he got the win.
I think it's called the lie detector.
That's the one, the lie detector, because he's got Truth in his name. But then as he's celebrating, Bobby Lashley comes out and spears Truth, and him and MVP team up to beat down Truth some more, which I thought was cool. It kind of furthers that plate of Lashley and MVP probably getting together to work together, which, again, I'm all for. So that was nice.
Yeah. Jinder Mahal told Charlie Caruso backstage that he's going to be a hero. He's going to get to the heights that Drew McIntyre has, hopefully. Shayna Baszler then cut just such a harsh promo.
I was sitting here watching it just being like, oh my god, Shayna, like, stop! The baby's not even born, Shayna! It was great.
She called it a parasite in Becky's stomach,
that
it will ruin her career. Mm-hmm. And then Natalia came in, and Shayna said, well, I'll, you know, the last of the Hart Dynasty.
Yeah.
I was just like,
yeah. She was like, what do you care about motherhood? You're never going to have a kid. I was like, whoa. it's just taking up a level. Jesus.
But you know what? She's a bad guy.
Yeah.
I thought this was very good bad guy dialogue because it made me kayfabe dislike her. So
exactly.
I actually thought it was very offensive, but that was the point.
Yes.
Unlike R-Truth's thing.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what they were
intending. And I also think as well, it was offensive, but not to the point where it drew me out of it and was like, whoa, why have they said that? Like, there's some lines that have been delivered. I'm like, that's just offensive, not on the story offensive. That's just offensive. Whereas I think with this Shayna one, they really, like, they towed the line really effectively to the point where I was like, screw you, Shayna. I wasn't like, screw you, WWE, for saying that. They towed the line really, really well. Also, something I think you might have missed earlier, unless I've completely got my notes out of order, was a backstage Rey Mysterio promo saying that he was...
Oh, sorry, has that already happened?
I think so.
Oh, this is my favourite thing on the show! You're right! Yeah.
So, I'll say my bit first. It was Rey Mysterio backstage with Charlie Caruso saying how he managed to survive from being thrown off a building. And the excuse was that there was another building that was 6 foot below it, so he was fine. And that's the excuse they gave, was that there was another building that we just didn't see.
You know, okay. the old Pimp My Ride memes, mm-hmm. where it was, yo, dog, mm-hmm. I heard you like playing video games.
Yeah.
So we put a video console in your car yeah. so you can drive and play. Anyway, it was like that, where Rey Mysterio said, no, man, I wasn't dead. I got thrown off the roof onto a smaller roof.
It's so bad.
You know what? It's so funny. It's so bad, like bad movie style dialogue, that I actually really like it.
Yeah.
I would, you know, I'm enormously embarrassed by it, that if anyone who didn't really watch wrestling the same way we did said, well, that's crap. Why do you like wrestling? I look at them as, you're right, man.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
But if I can just be an idiot with all of us idiots for a second, I thought this was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it fits so perfectly with what the Money in the Bank match was, because it was so stupid and wacky and ridiculous, and then you just go, yeah, there was a smaller roof. It just fits. It's perfect. I really liked it. Also, something I wanted to mention, I don't know if it's been mentioned on any WrestleTalk content for the last week, because I haven't watched any. I'm sorry, I know. Even on holiday, I don't think about WrestleTalk, I'm sorry. But the tagline they went with for Money in the Bank was, the risk is worth the reward, was what they went with. That doesn't make sense. It should be, the reward is worth the risk. But they've done it the wrong way round. That literally doesn't make sense. The risk is worth the reward. doesn't make sense.
Hmm.
And yet they keep saying it all the time, and it's driving me crazy. And they keep saying it, and Ray in this promo was like, I just kept telling myself, the risk is worth the reward. The risk is worth the reward. I'm like, that's wrong. It's the reward is worth the risk.
Take that, WWE. You've been chopped.
Yeah. Chop them. It's like the WrestleMania 25th anniversary all over again. God.
I liked when Seth walked in, looking really disheveled, huge hair, most homeless he can possibly look. Mm-hmm. And Rey Mysterio goes, hey, man, I really like your... well done, you're going to be a father. It's amazing. And Seth just like looked at him and walked off incredibly disdainfully. It was a fantastic performance. And Ray, who also was cutting a fantastic promo despite falling off a roof onto a smaller roof.
Onto a smaller roof.
Just like sort of lifts up his mask and says to Charlie, what a dick. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It was very good.
It was a very organic line, that one. I will say, though, thought it was weird that they mentioned that Seth was the father, because it did make what he did later on just kind of like, he's just really struggling with the fact he's a father now. And it wasn't about him losing to Drew at Money in the Bank. It was like he just found out from Becky earlier that he was going to be a dad, and he was like, oh no, what have I done? Mm. And then he just lost
it. I very much took Seth's extra heel turn to be motivated by his loss from Drew. I didn't even think that it could be tied in with Becky's pregnancy.
Yeah.
But everyone else is saying, oh no, it's like it's Becky getting pregnant. Seth's gone crazy because of that. I don't think that's a good direction to take it in. It might be interesting, but I see the genesis of Seth's new gimmick or an enhanced gimmick being from when Drew shook his hand.
Mm-hmm.
It was that same dead-eyed stare. But you know, feel free to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
The Undertaker, we got a clip from the Undertaker documentary. It looks really good. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But AJ Styles sits backstage to watch it with some popcorn and then gets angry.
I don't know what to say about this AJ Undertaker stuff. The stuff in the Money in the Bank match was so stupid. It was amazing. What else can you say? It's great.
They've got to be building to a rematch,
totally.
Which I am all in for.
Yeah.
Now, after that, we got the Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black. They bonded after being thrown off the building, presumably, versus Seth Rollins and Murphy. Tag. And this was really where you got to see Seth's new unhinged messiah gimmick, where he stood on the side, he's still in this dejected state from when Drew shook his hand, Murphy's wrestling the entire match, Seth isn't tagging in, he's not even looking at the action inside the ring, and then eventually Ray just punches him in the gut and Seth drags him out, and the referee immediately calls for a DQ. That was awkward, unfortunately. I don't know why they couldn't just wait to the injury spot that was a minute away to then call for the DQ. That makes far more sense, but anyway. And then Seth continued to target Ray's eye and then brought the eye to the corner of the steel steps and shoved his face onto it, making it look like the eye popped or something. This was an incredibly visceral injury angle.
I thought this was amazing. This was so good. Because, and especially before that as well, Seth just completely snapped, got so aggressive, threw Aleister Black over the barricade. That's the second time he's been thrown over something in 2 days. And then...
Don't worry, there was a smaller barricade.
There was a smaller
underneath.
Barricade. But then he started yelling at Murphy. He was like, no, stay out of this. Stay out of this. And he was yelling at Murphy to not get involved with it. And that's when he took Ray and shoved his eye into the corner of the steel steps. Thought it was great. His facial expressions through the whole thing, capped off with Ray's selling as well, I thought was amazing. It was beautiful selling. After that, still trying to cover his face, because obviously you don't want to see his face with the mask removed, but he was just screaming in agony, and like a load of people rushed out to him. They had like towels covering his face and all that, so you just heard like the muffled yells of Ray in pain for ages afterwards. I thought this was a home run segment for Seth's new character and for doing the injury angle afterwards. I thought it was beautiful. It was perfect. It was so, so good. My only gripe with it, and this has nothing to do with the segment, I thought this should have main evented the show. And it should have just ended with, you can just hear the yells from Ray and Seth just looking off blankly into the distance, and that's how the show ends. I thought that would have been so much more impactful than what happened.
I agree. But I'll give you a different closing image. And I can't tell if this happened. But it because WWE have a bit more cinematic license now, they did keep cutting from Ray screaming at ringside to just Seth's face walking slowly up the ramp. And it was dejected, but I swear near the end, as he was listening to the screams, he started to smile.
Mm.
Now that is a killer closing shot for the show. Unfortunately, my gripe actually comes in a segment that came a bit later. Ray's being tended to in the trainer's room. Aleister Black's checking on him. Seth and Murphy walk in, and Seth says, "I'm sorry, guys, I don't know what happened out there." That makes it a lot less interesting for me.
Mm.
I want Seth to sort of just be really totally absorbed by this whatever rage and inferiority he's feeling. I don't want him to be second-guessing that rage right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it would have been better if he'd have been completely silent. If it had just been he's there, like, physically there, but if they still wanted to keep this segment, you can still have Seth there, just don't say anything. He's there, just staring kind of blankly off, as Murphy says. Like, maybe it's like a cocky heel, just be like, oh, is he all right then? Or something like that. And that's when Black loses it and starts doing the brawl with him as Seth just kind of, like, staring blankly, just walks off kind of thing. That could have kept the intrigue going a bit more than, I agree, than Seth just saying, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, something I don't understand in the slightest is what they were trying to accomplish with the Street Profits versus the Viking Raiders in a game of basketball.
Hmm. So, it was set through a couple of vignettes through the night, which weren't very funny. And the actual main sketch itself also wasn't very funny. It was the Street Profits playing basketball, and they scored a lot of points because the Viking Raiders don't know how to play basketball, and delivering not very funny one-liners. And then the Viking Raiders lose a lot. They scored one basket and they're like, oh yeah, we won, we're awesome. And then they go, no, look at the scoreboard, we won a lot. And they go, oh no. And then it comes back in another vignette afterwards in the post game. And then the Viking Raiders go, you know we let you win, right? And they're like, huh, yeah, sure, whatever. And then it just shows a montage of them scoring a load of baskets and even doing like a dunk. And I was like, well, what was the point? What did you why didn't you just win then? If the point was to say we can do anything you can do, we're better, that we can do anything you can do but better, then why didn't you just win? Because that would have been better. I'm so confused. And it wasn't funny. That was the other thing. If it was funny, I probably could have let it off, because I'd have been like, you know what, it doesn't really make sense, but it was funny, it's fine. But it wasn't funny, so now I'm just confused.
Yeah, and it really was visually confusing because after that second reveal where, wow, the Viking Raiders are actually good at basketball, I was like, wait, so surely this is the final quarter then? And it was all a hustle, and now they're winning the match. So am I misremembering it? Was it only at the end of the third quarter that we left stuff? And I went back and like, no, the Street Profits won the entire game. It was an utter failure for I really can't understand how they managed to 50-50 book a vignette.
They really did, didn't they? But the thing is, you say it's a failure. What did they fail at? Because it didn't really succeed at anything, but it didn't fail at anything.
Creating compelling television. They failed at that.
Was that their goal, though? Because I'm not sure. Because I'm not sure. They might not have failed at that, because they might not have been able to try to do that. I don't know.
WWE's goal is to, you know, do good numbers 3 months before the TV contracts are up, and then coast.
Yeah.
After that, we got Natalya versus Shayna Baszler. They had a pretty good match, I thought, and Baszler won, so making her look really good.
I will say, one, Natalya said bitch. Naughty. And also, I don't normally comment on camera cuts and them being all super weird and stuff, because I generally find that I don't find them as grating as a lot of people. I think they're fine when used right. I can deal with the Kevin Dunn style of camera work. I'm used to it now. However, there was one little bit in this match where Shayna Baszler was repeatedly punching Natalya in the corner, doing several kind of quick jabs in the corner time and time again. And yeah, not that. Thanks, Ollie. But they cut the camera every time Shayna did a punch. And I timed it, and I counted how many camera cuts there were. There were 15 camera cuts in 12 seconds.
Oh my god. Like,
how do you do that? That really, like, that just grated with me so hard. I literally, like, I took myself out of the match for a second. I was like, who's pressing those buttons? Stop it. Stop it. Like, oh god. Yeah, that was bad. That was some bad camera work.
Do you think, when it gets into that kind of wrestling sequence in the broadcast studio where they're cutting between camera shots, you know, in video games, when you've got to really quickly press square to get out of a move, do you think that, like, a little icon comes out now? It's got to come with a warning, that sort of cut
rate. It really
should,
yeah.
Then we got King Corbin accepting Drew's challenge in a promo with Charlie Caruso. I was under the impression that it was a done deal. So
yeah,
I don't know why this was there.
They said that Corbin had challenged Drew, and then he accepted Drew's challenge despite him already challenging. Also, completely accepting the fact that he is wanted for murder. Just saying, yeah, I did try to murder Ray and Alistair. Isn't that great? They got lucky. There was that other smaller roof there. Like, what? Okay.
You take that to court.
Yeah.
When he's being, you know, charged for attempted murder. Mm. And they get, and the sort of defense points out, no. There was a smaller roof underneath the big roof. And the main event was Randy Orton and Edge having a... Well, the title graphic that promoted this throughout the episode was very clunkily written as "Are Edge and Randy Orton on a collision course?"
That sounds like a WrestleTalk podcast title.
It doesn't. We would never put collision course. We would say Edge and Orton clash
confirmed
in Tarabang. This sounds like a WWE article title.
That's true.
But, you know, the way that no one speaks, I thought it was very uninspiring. And that was followed up by, unfortunately, despite very good performances from both Edge and Orton, I thought their promo work was excellent. I don't want to see him wrestle at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You can't make me excited. Well, that's a lie. Plenty of wrestling things have made me excited about something I thought I'd never be interested in. But this really has an uphill climb ahead of it.
Totally. I mean, I think they both did really well in terms of the actual delivering of the promo itself. I thought the reasons for it were good. I thought that Orton made a compelling case saying that, hey, man, you came back in the Rumble when you had 29 other people to hide behind. You beat me in a last man standing match when, you know, when there's so much other objects and other things to hide behind. The better man won at WrestleMania, but the better wrestler didn't. And he's challenging Edge to a straight wrestling match at Backlash. And I thought it's a curious build to go from the hardcore stipulation to the singles match, but I thought it made sense. They had good points. They had good logic as to why it would make sense. I just don't want to see it. That's the problem. It's just, I'm not interested. I've seen these two wrestling as, like, for far longer than I wanted to already. And I mean, when Edge came back, everyone wanted Edge to come back, but I don't think they wanted Edge to come back just to feud with Orton. Like, and the start of Edge's promo saying, like, oh, I'm done with Orton. You know, when I looked into that locker room, I was like, who's he going to talk about? But it's just when Randy Orton came out. Like, you could have, like, Edge versus McIntyre, Edge versus Bryan, Edge versus Andrade, Edge versus Nakamura, Cesaro, someone, anyone. It's the same thing with Drew McIntyre's opponent next week. Pick someone from WWE that's good, and it will be a great match because it's Edge facing this person who we thought we wouldn't get to see, and that's already an instant draw, but they've gone back to Edge versus Orton again, which is disappointing.
What's AJ Styles doing right now? Why can't it be AJ Styles?
He's scared when Edge of the Undertaker.
When Edge cut that promo on Raw after his Royal Rumble return, he gave this tantalizing list of people he wants to get in the ring with. And, you know, Matt Riddle was one of those names. Seth Rollins. I was really excited, though, by AJ Styles' name. I want to see that match. And Daniel Bryan, to be fair. But the... Yeah, I just... I loved the Orton Edge build. Unfortunately, the climactic match wasn't good. I think we're, you know, most of us have agreed on that. If you liked it, all the power to you, but you can't ignore the fact that the vast majority of people found it utterly tedious and overlong and indulgent. But the build, my God, that was fantastic. So it's like, controversial, I'm not a fan of the Return of the King and Lord of the Rings. I feel like their feud was the Lord of the Rings franchise, you know, with all that great build from January through to April, and then, you know, you just fumble it at the end with the multiple endings of Return of the King. I do not want The Hobbit, right? I do not want The Hobbit immediately after that. I want something different. I want something fresh. I don't want to go back to that well, because that feud has organically and naturally ended. Orton and Edge coming back to fight now wasn't the plan. They were brought back because ratings are in the pan and WWE panicked and they brought back stars. That's a reported fact. So to go, but to bring them back, fair enough, but to put them in the feud that has naturally concluded is incredibly lazy. And it's not gonna work in the long run compared to fresh feuds that can get over new people.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. Like, I'm just disappointed because I really want to see Edge wrestle so many other people, and we're seeing Orton again. It might be a good match. It very well could be. These two are very good professional wrestlers. You're holding your finger
well,
up.
Well, it's not just going to be a good match.
Oh my God, I forgot about this bit.
Because if this goes ahead, this could very well be the best wrestling match ever. So Orton and Edge did this promo exchange in the ring, and it came to the end of the promo. Very good promo. Both guys are very good. And then from out of nowhere, as they're staring at each other, as that closing image to the show, Charlie Caruso walks into the shot behind them like they're doing a freeze frame, and she's come out and say, "Well, next week, folks, on Saved by the Bell or whatever." And she looks right down the camera and says, "Well, if this does happen, it could very well be the best wrestling match ever." And that not only came across terribly, it was awkwardly scripted, it was rubbish, it was patronizing as a viewer, it was so petty, because that, surely that was only in there to say to all the people who really criticized that match, Dave Meltzer, you know, famously called it one of the worst WrestleMania matches in history. That line was at him.
Yeah, totally. And it was, and when you say that Caruso came out of nowhere, it really was out of nowhere. Like, they had the close-up shot, they were like this far apart, staring at each other. It zoomed into Edge, it zoomed out, and suddenly Orton wasn't there, and Caruso was. I was like, what's happening? Why is she there? And yeah, she delivers this terrible line, it undercuts the tension that you have at the end of the promo, and now it's made me less excited for the match, when you've been trying to sell me that it could be the best wrestling match ever. Now I don't buy it anymore. So, well done, WWE. Good job, guys.
No. But overall, I thought this was an enjoyable episode. Really made by Becky Lynch's announcement. And I love the Seth stuff as well.
Yes.
I thought that was, so overall, I gave it a 4 out of 5. But without the Becky stuff, like, it's a low average, I think.
Yeah, totally. I'm kind of on the border between kind of like a low 4 to high 3. Like, the Becky stuff really elevated it, and the Seth stuff was fantastic. There's a couple of... I just really wish that Seth main evented the show, because I really think that would have been a really good bookend to it, of having Becky open and Seth close. I think that would have been a nice, like, bookmark to the episode. But can't have everything. But yeah, so thought it was very enjoyable, mostly, throughout the show. So, yeah. Low 4. Why not?
Well, before we get on with all of your super chats, we've got plenty, and we've already massively overran.
Yeah, we have.
So let's get on with your super chats. We'll speed through them as quickly as possible. Raw related, the bad one, Ryan B. Bad. Seth went from looking like Russell Brand to Killer Jesus.
Really like that.
The AdNap too, but what's inside Otis's briefcase?
Oh my God, imagine. Maybe it's another turkey that Mandy Rose has cooked him.
A sandwich, yeah. Ben Isaacs, the Omni Corbin must return.
God.
It was the Omni Shane, actually.
It was the Omni Shane, But it's going to be the Omni Corbin now.
The Joseph Gianella, not even the wild card rule can escape the pull of Baron Corbin's Midgard Vortex of Evil.
That was actually really good. What the hell? Okay.
The real YT Corbin Vortex has appeared again. LOL, smiley face with laughter. Pavi led Andy out of his cage. I can already see WWE make Becky's baby into a story. What if WWE say Buddy is the dad, and that's why yesterday Seth didn't want anything to do with Buddy?
Oh, that's a story. Don't be the story, please, but it's a story.
No, it's not very good. No. Darren Moody, Seth and Becky equals Irish Jesus. Ben Isaacs again. Lashley broke the master lock. He learnt its secret.
I was right. I know wrestling, see?
Walu TV. You know, Pete, Lashley using the master lock is all part of the big plan to bring Chris Masters back. Hashtag you love it.
Totally, yeah. Definitely to bring Chris Masters back.
Happy birthday, Dan, for the weekend as well. Mm. That's Walu TV.
Happy birthday, Dan.
He turned 12.
Yeah.
Isn't that
amazing,
nice?
Amazing milestone.
Vandalia 1998. So now both people on the cover of WWE 2K20 are off TV because of babies.
That's true. Different context, but yes, because of babies.
Because that's the thing wrong with 2K20.
Yeah.
Mega Mister 46. Now WWE is trying to make the tag teams into a clone Chuckle Brothers army.
Sure.
The Adnap 2, I hope they didn't just put MVP and Lashley together because they're both, you know, from 2007.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I hope they didn't do that either. It's
That's very
yeah,
good.
It's a good joke.
It's the same reason they, you know, I hope they didn't put Ricochet and Cedric Alexander together because Vince McMahon gave up on them.
Yeah.
Joe Earls, do you think now Becky being pregnant that Seth will have a second coming storyline played out? I don't know if they meant it that way.
They totally did. They totally did. The name of his old entrance music was The Second Coming. That's hilarious. Well done.
Matthew Scheel, had to go watch the Becky segment after the news. It's really, really good.
It's great.
It's, you know, all-time top Raw moments.
Yeah.
Ben Isaacs. Seth looked like the baby is already waking him up at 3 a.m.
he's getting ready for those night feeds.
Gabriel Reyes. I know why Ray only mentioned Seth was the father. He's the Messiah. This was clearly a case of immaculate conception. In seriousness, congrats to both.
Absolutely.
Well, I think Seth should start, if he does want to integrate it into his character, he should start claiming he, you know, he is God, he is fathered a child, the saviour.
Mm-hmm.
It was... He is immaculate, I don't know.
Yeah.
KML, such a shame we didn't get a Scooby-Doo chase sequence with Taker and AJ at Money in the Bank. Seth looked like he didn't shower or clean up since his match with Drew.
It's probably true, honestly.
And Benny Sato, hashtag Datsun, is the only hope to bring the gold to WrestleTalk. It could be the temptations of Rollins, like Jesus had in the desert.
You never know. Could be.
Hmm. MJVDG, Necromancer Taker, Stable of Resurrected Dead Lads.
That would actually be quite funny, yeah. Now, that's the thing, there wasn't a smaller roof. It's Taker just resurrected Mysterio and Black after they died. That's what it is.
Yeah. Kodiak 1984, Viking Raiders were showing they are in control, and the reason the Street Profits are champions are because the Viking Raiders let them mind games.
Is that like the mind games from your WrestleTalk extra review of Mania 21 with Undertaker on a Segway? You know, it's mind games.
Mm.
It's just mind games.
I don't think that plays out. If that works for you, Kodiak, again, all the power to you, but I thought it was awful.
Mm.
Ben Isaacs. Charlotte was advertised for SmackDown. She's now on all three brands.
She's the Omniflare now. Great. Did you want me to do these ones?
Yeah, you take over.
We've got some general wrestling-related super chats. We've got one from JR Briggs that says, put Kenny King in and it's Impact all over again. Sure. General WrestleTalk-related super chats. Now, Victor Vega said... why did Shayna call me a loser? I'll be a great dad. Are you Seth? And also says stupid autocorrect because he put Shauna. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Tom Garan said, watching this while doing my uni exam, have some pounds. Thank you very much.
while doing their university exam.
Well, I mean, hopefully not while doing it. I would hope he meant while studying for it, maybe?
It's remote learning.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just...
Well, don't do that if you're actually doing an exam. Oblivious Kari says, did you know we are wrestlers who wrestle?
Cool.
Did you know that?
I was not aware.
No.
No.
Pavi let Andy out of his cage. Becky to be a mother. Pete soon to be Smooth Pete. Oh, God. Smooth Pete. Get that trending.
A lot of fun was had from last week's Quizzlemania.
That was, yeah, Smooth Pete. Harry Pig Orr says, taking a break from finishing my dissertation to watch this. Thanks for the content, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck writing it.
Mm. Ray Benshop says, thanks for the content, guys. Hope you're staying safe. And you, thank you very much.
You too, buddy.
Patel Ron 6 says, after a shave, Chopper's going to look younger than AD.
Andy Datsun.
Andy
Datsun.
There it is. Yeah. Maybe. Probably, yes, actually. Zach Icon Littner said, you got it this week, Ollie. Joe.
Cheers, man. All my Joe buddies believing in me like that.
Absolutely. Magnus says, who's the stiffest worker, Sin Cara or Seth? It's another good joke.
Excellent.
Dwayne Cooley said, shave Chopper. I'm going to have
to. Shave Chopper.
I'm going to have to, unfortunately. Patel Ron 6 says, Pete's fiance is going to colour his eyebrows. She won't. They won't be there, probably, if you guys get the charity goal. Who's this one from, Ollie? If you're still on the dock.
Oh, Charlie Caruso-nter.
Yeah, that one. The Craftsman said, "Caruso alert from out of nowhere. Hello to my good friend Ollie Davidson."
Cheers, man. I don't know you, but that's not my name.
Yeah. D-Matic the Ghost said, "WWE will never satisfy you guys at WrestleTalk." I mean, I thought we were pretty positive on this episode overall. The Becky and the Seth stuff was awesome. I thought
very positive of Otis winning as well.
Yeah,
and I criticised AEW last Thursday.
Oh my god! Yeah, I will say I bloody loved Money in the Bank. It was great. Terry O. Jenkins said, "You guys are awesome. If you need an American sports and WWE fan to help out, hit me up. Stay safe. I mean, we do not know our American sports, so you know."
Thank you, Terry O.
Kodiak 1984 said, my comment was more of a question. Stay safe, guys. What was his one again?
Oh, it was the idea, wasn't it? Going back.
Were the Viking Raiders showing they're in control, and the reason the Street Profits are champions is because the Viking Raiders are letting them mind games.
That's probably the character motivation, but it was rubbish.
Didn't come across that way. Dale Creasy said, more of you guys singing songs. They help with my anxiety. I don't know any songs off the top of my head when I'm put on the spot.
Well, we can't do that over the delay of video calls.
That's true. Yeah, no.
It won't work. We tried to do the karaoke and it was unlistenable.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's something we'll have to wait till post-lockdown.
Yeah. We got one from Joe Earl saying, Seth's story is now he has to clean up the sins of WWE to make way for his child, the second coming of Seth's son. You know what? That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
We got a donation with... Oh, sorry, go ahead. We got one more. Adam Pearson! Hey!
Hey!
Thoughts on Tom Segura using the R word? Don't do it. There you go. That's my take.
Am I going to open up that R word?
Yeah.
Like the slowing down of a speed.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's past it. There's no reason to use it when it's offensive.
Yeah, yeah. Just don't. We got a super chat with no message from Angel Perez. Thank you very much. And over on the other link, we've got the link you can see on the screen right now. We got a donation from Jonathan Hedman. He said, well, with lockdown in place, you had to expect some wrestle babies coming out. I'm happy for them. It's true.
Very much so, yeah.
We got one from Ben Mack, who says, during the Money in the Bank match, after Baron Corbin threw Ray and Black off the roof, they should have cut to a shot of both of them on the floor outside the building, either A, on the floor, just dead, or B, on the floor, selling their back like a normal back bump.
Yeah, Yeah, they should have.
That would have been hilarious. That would have been so funny. And finally, Nate Drop Surname said, Seth wasn't catatonic because he was upset at losing to Drew. He just really was not ready to have a baby. Hope Ollie has been studying up on nips. It's time to take down SRS. Edge versus RKO. Greatest wrestling match of all time. Really, Charlie? Yeah.
It was the greatest wrestling match of all time.
Ever.
We've just had a few come in as well from the Super Chats. Thank you ever so much, everyone. You've been so generous. Leonza Duncan, MVP stable with Lashley, Cruz, Cedric, and Ricochet. You know, there's... It's that they've all got something in common joke there. But yeah, there is... I could see a reason why they all band together.
Totally.
And that's because they've been passed over by other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Terrio Jenkins, I know that's why I'm taking my shot. Terrio, what did Terrio say? They made the joke, didn't they?
I don't know.
Terrio. You guys are awesome. Oh, if you need an American sports fan.
Right.
To help out. Thank you very much, but I foolishly said, yeah, if anyone wants to write for us, just send me an email. And I got so many emails. Thank you everyone who did send them in. Also, I think MVP will make a better manager than Lana.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Lana is a very good manager.
I
you know, she was fantastic for Rusev.
Yeah.
In the first iteration.
I think she's great for Rusev and nobody else. That's the problem. Mm. It's like Heyman really works with Lesnar and didn't work with like Cesaro or Ryback.
Yeah. And Giant 420 Ginger, bye bye Beardy. Mm. # keep the mutton chops.
I can't. I have to shave it all off. That's the stipulation.
So do you think you'll lose your eyebrows? I think because the amount is... So $4,000 is what we want to hit.
Yeah.
So is that dollars or sterling?
I don't know, but either way, I think we're going to hit it anyway.
You think your eyebrows are a money draw?
I think not only my eyebrows, but one, it's for charity anyways. People love that stuff. And also we've got, you know, as you said before, No Way Jose's on there. Extra eyes, probably. And yeah, people will probably, with how it went down with Datsun losing his hair, and I think people were cheated out of not seeing Datsun shave his eyebrows off because he didn't want to, I think they might finally get to exact some revenge over that. And I think especially if you was really like having the power and being like, huh, yeah, we're gonna make you shave off your eyebrows because we can do that kind of thing, probably something
shave
like that.
Chopper.
Yeah, that.
I'm going to say that a lot tomorrow.
I really hope
you
don't. Just
to give you a heads up. Is this some weird power play against Andy then? Is it all like, well, you didn't shave your eyebrows. I'm more man than you.
Maybe it's just I don't care as much. Maybe that's what it is. I just don't care about myself. It's not that.
When was the last time you saw your chin?
It was when I was 17. So,
wow.
Yeah, because, well, I guess technically 18, because it was just after I went to university, because when I was in my sixth form, the rule was you had to be clean shaven. So I never grew a beard before that. Then I went to university when I was 18. For the first couple of weeks at uni, I was still clean shaven just because that was the habit. And then I had an epiphany at one point and I was like, oh my God, I don't need to be clean shaven anymore. I'm just going to see what happens if I let it grow. And never looked back since.
I had a similar thing, but I worked at a premium supermarket called Waitrose.
Mm.
And I wasn't allowed to... You were allowed to have a beard, but you were allowed to be clean shaven, but you were not allowed the interim. You weren't allowed bum fluff. That was considered untidy for the middle class shoppers.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
So I could never, at that age, grow a beard fast enough.
Mm.
But I had I went travelling round Europe for a couple of weeks, and I grew my best attempt at a beard and didn't look back. And then I was going out with my ex, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to shave it off. And we were going through a rocky patch anyway. And she came back. I met her from an airport. She got off the plane and she looked at me. And I thought, hey, I'm quite devilishly handsome without the beard. And she looked at me and I think that's when she decided we were going to break up. So I'm just, you know, we're here for you, Pete, if things don't go Well,
I think my lady partner is more excited about this than anybody, and I'm not quite sure why. I think she.
Pete, I wanna feel your smooth cheeks.
I think she just wants the experience of having said that she has seen me without a beard. I think that's mainly what it is. Just because I've always had a beard since we've been together, so probably just that. I don't know what's going to go on with the eyebrows, though. I'm quite worried, if I'm honest.
So there is a danger they won't grow back.
It'll be fine. It'll grow back. It's fine. It's totally fine.
But they could grow back cool.
They could grow back cool.
Evil pencil eyebrows that have a little kink in.
My eyebrows already grow weird as it is. Like, they have, like, weird slits in them and stuff already. It's super strange. That's just, like, a natural growth. And at various points in my life, I've had people come up to me and just being like, have you shaved that slit in your eyebrows? But, like, nope, that's just the way they grow. And they grow super weird. Like, my left one curls up at the end towards my head. It's super strange. Like, my eyebrows are weird. Maybe I'll just look better without them. Who knows?
I don't think that's the case. I don't think you'll look better without them.
Probably not, but you never know. I'm just hopeful, quietly hopeful, that they'll grow back, one, and two, they'll grow back better than before. Please.
So you were talking to us earlier on our group call that you were figuring out the stages of beard that you'll go down.
Mm.
Have you done a similar thing for your eyebrows in case that happens?
No, that's going to be a one and done. That's going to be like, I need to shave my eyebrows. Cool, they're gone.
I think that's going to be enormously liberating.
It is?
I think it's going to feel like a chunk of weight has just come off your eye.
I had that. The first time I shaved my head, I had that sense of like liberation of being like, oh my god, that's so much hair. This is great. So I guess it'll be the same. But there's no way, if I have to shave my eyebrows, I'm not doing that in stages. No way. Because seeing me with half an eyebrow, I'm going to be like, nope, I don't want to do it anymore. And then it'll be too late. So yeah, it's going to be one and done.
You could have little Hitler moustaches instead of eyebrows.
That sounds terrible. Let's not do that.
You're not even going to do the chavvy little slit in it.
The chavvy slit on the far side. See, that's what I mean. My eyebrows slit from the inside. They look super weird already. It would look so strange. Yeah, so no. Not at all.
Well, it's for a great cause.
It is.
It's weird how, you know, I think from the outside it looks like I'm forcing you all to do this. But you are all readily volunteering to get rid of various bits of hair.
That's true.
We had a call where, you know, even Laurie was like, oh, if it came to it, I could shave my beard.
Yeah.
What's happening here? People just bored?
Just the content. Starved for content, that's what it is. Yeah, just need it.
I was really prepared for zero content, and just I don't know how WWE are doing it. The wrestling world is just story after story at the moment. It's insane.
It's mental. Yeah. I mean, we've still got backup plans for content after content after content, just in case. But from the looks of it, I think we're still probably going to be talking about God knows what comes soon. Like, there's probably going to be some sort of miscarriage angle that they're going to run. You know, it's going to be awful.
God.
It's going to be terrible. You know, that'll be Shayna Baszler's new character, that she's just out to give Becky a miscarriage. Like, it's going to be terrible. But we'll be talking about it. So, you know, content. Am I right?
That is Paul Heyman. That is Paul Heyman 101.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. Well, please do go and download the Quizzlemania podcast and subscribe to it. It's available on all good podcast. Luke usually does this bit. Oh, we should have probably said that Luke's not here.
Luke's not here.
I guess people have figured that out by now.
Yeah, this is the end of the episode. So, yeah.
Mm. But yeah, go over and subscribe to Quizzlemania, because our latest episode will be up there soon. You can watch it live on YouTube on Parts of Unknown, where No Way Jose will be competing against myself, Luke, and Sean Ross Sapp, and we'll be cutting to Pete live, shaving his beard and potentially his eyebrows. And also, go over to WrestleTalkMerch.com and buy your Pile Drive COVID-19 shirt, which we've just released. It's charming. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. That's been Pete Quinnell. Nearly said Luke Owen. Oof. I love you, goodbye, whatever he says.
That's the one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.